Good morning. Welcome to Your Town on DRCFM and the Talk of Connecticut. I'm your host this morning, Richard Price, in for Jerry Christopher, who is off this week. And this morning we're talking about smoking cessation, an interesting topic, something that I can relate to as being a former smoker. And our guest this morning is nurse practitioner Diane Wilcox from the UConn Health Center in Farmington. Diane, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Richard.
Diane, the reason we have you here is because UConn, the health center, has been running these smoking cessation programs, I guess, for a little bit of time now. You've got one coming up this week.
Yes, we have one that starts on September 4th.
Okay. Tell us about what the process is for smokers that want to get involved in this program. What should they do? How should they get in touch with you if they want to?
Well, first off, we have a call center that will take their registration. Mm-hmm. The number to register for the program is 1-800-535-6232. When they call, they will give their information, including a credit card, so they can make a sort of a deposit. Mm-hmm. It's a refundable $50 after they have completed the program.
Okay.
The program runs for a total of 8 sessions, and it's over 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you've run one of these programs before.
Yes.
What's your success rate been like?
Well, it varies.
Maybe I should ask, how many people did you have in your last session?
So in the last session, there were 16 people that enrolled.
Okay.
Like I said, it's a total of 8 sessions. Mm-hmm. Our fourth session is our quit day. Mm-hmm. So after quit day, I had a little bit of drop off. So by the completion of the 8 sessions, we were down to 8 people.
Okay.
So we pretty much cut in half. And of that, of those 8 people that finished the program, not everybody is smoke free.
Okay. So the quit day is by, you're basically halfway through the session and they're
yes.
supposed to have stopped.
Yes.
So
yes.
the rest of the sessions are basically what, support?
Yeah. So the beginning 3 sessions are really about how to prepare for your quit day.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think about quitting smoking as climbing Mount Everest. You wouldn't just show up at base camp without have done some training, some education, and prepared yourself for this journey. So that's what session 1 through session 3 are really about, building your toolbox, your emergency kit mm-hmm. on how to quit smoking, how to start the process, and then how to stay off of cigarettes.
Okay.
And then those last, so session 5 through 8 are really going to be about supporting the person as they're actively quitting in those first 3 weeks, because we know that those are pretty important weeks.
Mm-hmm. Just a question on the side that just popped into my head. What about people that want to help somebody else? Is there any involvement with them? In other words, do any of the smokers actually bring somebody else in with them that they might want to have as, you know, going through the program, even though they're not a smoker, for instance, that, you know, to guide them through and help them out a little more?
Well, they don't necessarily come to the program itself, but we actually do give a booklet with information so that they could share that information with anybody who wants to help them. There's also a letter that I put forth to the members of the group to say, you know, if you want to enlist anybody in this endeavor that you're doing, whether it's a prior smoker or that's a friend or a family member or somebody who is a current smoker that you hang out with and maybe you smoke with, or, you know, just a friend who mm-hmm. wants to help you, you know, give them specifics in your letter as to how you think they might be able to help you. Or just even, I think, sharing the information. And the more people you tell, I'm quitting smoking, so they're going to want to support you during that. It might be something like, if I ask for a cigarette, mm-hmm. you tell me no. Because remember, you told me you're quitting smoking.
Yeah.
Most people do want to help out their friend, their family member, because they care about them.
Well, I find that interesting because as a former smoker, whenever I quit, and you know, Chris and I were talking about this when we were setting up this this program today, that you know, it you don't always quit on the first first try. It takes a lot of different
tries.
That's
very true.
And that's what happened with me. I got to the point where I did tell people the first times that I was trying to quit. And when I failed, I was embarrassed. So from that point...
That kind of motivates you.
Yeah, from a certain point forward, I said, you know, when I'm going to make up my mind to quit again, I'm not going to tell anybody. And I didn't. And I just quit. And, you know, when people noticed that I wasn't smoking anymore, they were surprised.
Yeah.
And pleasantly, fortunately. Yeah. I'd like to talk a little bit about the tools in the toolbox. What are some of the methods that you put forth to the smokers that that they can utilize, that they can fall back on, but look to quit that habit?
One of the first tools that we use is something called Pack Tracks, and it is a little diary of when you smoke each cigarette, and it gives the smoker some insight as to the emotion that they're feeling when they're choosing to smoke that cigarette, the time of day, what they're doing. It then allows them to come up with a strategy on how to not smoke that cigarette at that particular time or because of that particular feeling. There's many different triggers that will lead somebody to smoke. It could be that they're stressed out, they're angry, they're sad. It could be that they're just plain old bored. I had one person in my program over the winter that realized that he smoked out of boredom.
Mm-hmm.
And if he just was able to find something else to do, and the fact that he recognized that, it really helped him to focus in on what his strategies were going to be. So that's one of the things that we do in the very beginning, and that's part of the toolkit. So they're going to have lots of lists and lots of reminders of the reasons, what motivates them to not smoke. What are the barriers that kind of stand in their way to quitting? And some of those things can be the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then we also talk about the strategies of what you're going to do differently. It could be as simple as, I'm going to have a pencil in my hand instead of a cigarette. Some people need something in their hand.
A replacement.
Yeah, a replacement. What am I going to do instead of smoking? How am I going to change the situation that triggers me to smoke?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's I don't drink coffee. I change my cup. I change to tea. I mean, these sound like simple things, and it's not the same. The things that are in each person's toolbox can be different, and the answers really come from that smoker themselves.
Well, smoking, to my understanding, is twofold. It's addictive with the nicotine,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
it's also psychological.
Yeah, behavioral. Yeah.
Yeah. Quickly, the physical addiction is to nicotine.
Yes.
And I would imagine some of the other chemicals in a cigarette.
Lots of chemicals in a cigarette.
Hundreds, if not thousands. What is the actual time that it takes to break the physical addiction, and does that necessarily vary from individual to individual, or is it just something that that's it for a human?
It peaks in the first couple of weeks, that actual physical withdrawal, and we like to not call it withdrawal, but recovery symptoms. So nicotine replacement systems are part of the strategies that can be in somebody's toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
It can be the gums, it can be the patches, it can be the little nicotine, almost like cigarette. They're an inhaled product.
Mm-hmm.
It can be nicotine lozenges. And one of the things that I do in the course is make sure that people understand and know how to use those tools effectively, because not everybody uses them the way they're intended. And they can use them for... you know, for sure 6 weeks
mm-hmm.
at the minimum, and that's what the recommendations usually are, but many times people will use them a little bit longer.
You don't frown upon the use of a nicotine substitute?
No. No, I don't.
No?
Like you said, it's part of the what makes a person smoke
mm-hmm.
is that physical and chemical addiction. So what I tell people is that the nicotine replacement is like a bridging. it's allowing you to not have those strong withdrawal symptoms that sometimes are those barriers to why people don't want to quit, because they don't want to feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
So if I let them know, so during that time period when you're using the nicotine replacement systems, that's the time that you're actually also trying to change your behavior. So it's, and so we can't just focus in on the addictive piece, because that's only a piece of it. But it's also the behaviors, the thing, those behavior things that trigger you to smoke that you have to work on mm-hmm. in changing your behavior.
Okay. Well, behavior is certainly, in my experience during my quitting, was something that I had to change. And, you know, you mentioned maybe not drinking the coffee, not putting yourself into social situations.
Right.
I mean, that can also be very difficult for somebody to try and yeah. get around. You know, you don't want to be around other smokers. They may be your best friends. You may be married to one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the hardest, is when you're married to one. You have a significant other that is still an active smoker. But you sit down and you talk with your partner, right? And
sure.
make compromises.
Yep. Yeah.
And figure out, you know, well, maybe we'll have some smoke-free zones. These are smoke-neutral places. These are places that that you're not going to smoke around me. It's helpful to have that support, as we were talking in the beginning.
Yeah. You're listening to Your Town on DRC-FM and the Talk of Connecticut this morning. I'm your host, Richard Price, in for Jerry Christopher. And we're talking with Diane Wilcox, advanced practice registered nurse at UConn, and she is a facilitator. That is correct, right?
Yes.
A facilitator for the Freedom from Smoking program at the University of Connecticut Health Center. The latest program is due to start on this Tuesday, September 4th. And the number to call if you want to get involved in that is 800-535-6232. So that you can register and get more information about that. You know, I think statistically, fewer and fewer people, fortunately, are smoking these days.
It's about 20% of adult population 18 and above that are currently smokers.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's pretty far down, I would imagine, from I look back at probably the 1960s, 1970s as the kind of the turning point when
yes.
the health industry really said, you know, not a good idea to smoke. What do you see as the participation so far in the programs that you've been involved in? I mean, is that kind of a small number of people that are actively looking to quit the habit? In other words, you know, the percentage of people that actually do smoke, you know, some of them probably have no intention of ever quitting. And another percentage of them, hopefully, you know, more like something like just throwing out a figure, say 80% do want to quit.
Right. So that's one of the things. When I am seeing a patient in my office who I know is a smoker, we address it each time they come into my office. And I'll ask them, how interested are you in quitting smoking in the next 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say, I'm not, well, then I know I don't have to go too much further there, because the work in quitting smoking comes from the smoker. There's not any magic that I have. I wish I did,
yeah.
but I don't. So if they're not motivated, then I'll say, okay, we'll talk about it the next time you come in.
Mm-hmm. What about age? Again, looking at the people that you've dealt with, I would hope that there's not a lot of young people that are involved in smoking. You know, that's really, whether the cigarette companies want to admit it or not, is the target. You know, you get them young and you keep them for as long as you can.
Well, unfortunately, there are other forms of tobacco besides cigarettes that are marketed to our young people, and those are in the form of smokeless cigarettes
mm-hmm.
and a lot of products that you chew. They're flavored. They taste like fruit or candy, but they're just as dangerous.
Because they have nicotine in them?
The other chemicals that are in a cigarette can also cause harm to your mouth, your teeth, your throat.
Okay.
So the smokeless cigarettes aren't without dangers.
Okay. Now, well, do you have, I guess as long as we're on that aspect of it, do you have any people, for instance, that chew, that get involved in the program?
Not in the Freedom from Smoking program, but there is another program specifically for teens mm-hmm. that want to quit tobacco, and it's also through the American Lung Association.
Okay. You know, I quit some years ago, and I tried various methods. The first few times that I tried to quit, I did ask, you know, family and friends to, you know, support me. That didn't work. So I tried other things. There was a product on the market years ago. I'm not sure if it's still out there. It was a pill that, you know, you get it through an infomercial called Cigarest. And I'm not sure what was in it. I'm not sure that it actually helped. You know, I did quit for a period of time, but, you know, for me personally, I think it was more of psychological. I also tried hypnosis. I think I quit for several weeks, probably. It might have been months, right, because it was a long time ago. And my mother-in-law, who went with me, she quit as well. She was a very heavy smoker, much heavier than I was. And she quit for about a week or two and then was right back. But I felt, and I quit several times for various periods of time before I finally quit completely. And my success was cold turkey. Is that more difficult for some people than it is for others?
Most smokers will try, have several attempts at quitting smoking. And I think you kind of use that information, those episodes, as kind of some place where you learn from. You'll say, I know that this strategy didn't work for me, and I'm not going to try that one again. And you do kind of learn from it. So you had mentioned another smoking cessation product. There are two other medications that can help, that are by prescription, that help to cut some of the desire for nicotine. So there are two products, prescription only. They would need to get those from their doctor or nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. So those help a little bit too. But again, the work is the smoker having to, you know, really wanting to, having that motivation.
Mm-hmm. Let's, again, for the sake of the listeners, let them know when this program is. Again, it's Freedom from Smoking. This particular program, 7 weeks, will start up on Tuesday, September 4th. How long each? You meet at night, I take it?
We do. We meet in the evening from 6 to 8, and there's some light refreshment served since it's around dinner time.
No cocktails.
No cocktails.
Not a good thing.
We meet for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending how long people want to talk and how engaged they are and how much they share. And it's once a week. As I said, session 4 is our quit day.
Mm-hmm.
Session 5 is 2 days later. And so that's in the same week. And that's the purpose of that is to really help support those beginning few days.
Yep.
When it can be sometimes the most difficult, and give everybody support, find out where you might be having some slips,
mm-hmm.
relook at a quit plan that you've put together, what's working, what's not working so far, strengthen your resolve. And I also want to mention too that there are two sessions. So the first one starts September 4th and goes through the 16th. That one's going to be run by Terry Seelig. She is one of the respiratory therapists at the health center.
Mm-hmm.
And then session 2, I am running, and that starts October 1st and goes through November 12th. And again, it's both are from 6 to 8 in the evening.
Okay. What do you tell the people? Let's say it's the first night, the very first night, and you've got, just for round figures, 16 people. One person is dead set on quitting. The other one couldn't care less, you know, probably going to go through the, saying to himself.
Doing it for somebody else.
Well, maybe because they just have, they're going through the motions, you know. I have no intention of quitting. I'll go through the program, yeah, you know, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to end up quitting after 7 weeks. What is your role in that? Are you trying to not necessarily hit them over the head, but are you going through the health aspects, the yes. financial, everything, yes. you know, all the different things involved that are detrimental mm-hmm. to a person because they smoke.
Yeah. We do spend a little bit of time talking about the consequences of smoking. And it really goes from head to toe. Mm-hmm. There's something that can happen to your body as a result of smoking and affects so many organs, so many parts of your life. One of the things that I like to bring home to people is maybe you don't get cancer. Maybe you don't have severe or chronic lung disease. But the disability that I see from smoking really makes a huge, it really made a big impact on my life. And people can't do things mm-hmm. the way they used to. And they really start limiting their extracurricular activities, their family activities, the things that really bring joy to their lives. I think that's what they get robbed of. Mm-hmm. And if I can help somebody, whether it's just providing information in the beginning to a person that may not be as motivated as the person sitting next to them, I just consider my doors always open. I'm always there to help you no matter where you are in your journey in considering quitting or really somebody who is determined to quit. Mm-hmm. My door is always open to help them in any way because I just want to allow people to have that opportunity to really enjoy life.
Sure.
And I see how they can be robbed from because of cigarettes.
And the benefits of quitting are immediate. Basically, I mean, your health.
It starts immediately.
Yeah. Your health improves. You're not spending. I don't even know what cigarettes cost these days. My mother-in-law smokes, and I think she's talking about $10 a pack.
I believe so. I believe some are about $10 a pack. And that's a lot of money, depending on how many packs a day that you might smoke. And we do a little
50
exercise.
Cents when I first started.
Yeah. So that's one of the exercises we do. And what else could you spend your money on instead of cigarettes?
Yeah. Put it in a little jar and see.
Yeah.
See
how that's what on one of the on your list of the things that are motivating you to quit smoking.
Well, believe it or not, Diane, we're out of time. This has been very interesting. I hope you have a very successful program coming up.
Thank you.
And the people that participate, hopefully they'll give it up. I can vouch for it. It's definitely the thing to do. My guest this morning has been Diane Wilcox, advanced practice registered nurse at the UConn Health Center, and she is involved in the Freedom from Smoking program that's going to be taking place at UConn this fall. And again, the number to call is 1-800-535-6232 for more information and to register for the program. Thank you very much for joining us this morning on Your Town on DRC-FM and the Talk of Connecticut. I'm Richard Price.